Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to welcome you to this service as we gather to remember and celebrate the life of Catherine Thompson Kingsolver. As we begin our service, let me share with you the words of Jesus. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And for many years, those coming to worship here have loved the picture of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, tending the sheep in the stained glass window high above me. Remembering his ministry and caring for all of God's children, Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me, and I give to them eternal life. Will you join me in prayer, please? Merciful God, our Father, thou who art strength to the weak, refreshment to the weary, comfort to those who grieve, help to the tempted and life to the dying. Make us sensitive to the presence of your comfort and peace through your Holy Spirit this morning, in accordance with Jesus' promise that we will not be left alone. Help us to be grateful for your eternal love that receives us back into your everlasting care and keeping, where we know your love and peace. Amid the changes in our daily lives, make us strong and calm and persuade our hearts to trust in you. When you say that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, shall separate us from your love revealed to us through your only begotten Son, Jesus, our risen Lord. Amen. Will you join with me as we sing together? Don't stand, we'll remain seated. Hymn number 570, Sweet Hour of Prayer, verses 1 and 3. It's in the red hymnal. Thank you.
Catherine Thompson King Sauver was born May 27, 1921, Nepal, India, to Reverend Clinton and Dr. Bertha Thompson, who were missionaries for the Disciples of Christ. Catherine started school in India at age 4 years old. Upon the 1928 accidental drowning of her father, Disciples of Christ's Mission Board requested that Dr. Thompson and her five children return to America. Dr. Thompson established her medical practice in Bethany, Nebraska, a suburb of Lincoln. Catherine continued her grade school in Bethany and then went on to attend Bethany High, where she sang in triple trio, accompanied the orchestra on piano, and graduated valedictorian. She attended Nebraska Wesleyan her freshman year, where her older sister was a senior at the time. Upon the persuasion of a dear friend, she transferred to Hastings College and graduated in 1942. The summer before her senior year, she met her future husband, Richard King Sauver. They married in 1943, and their first child, Stephen Grant, was born in 1944, when Richard was serving in the Army Air Corps in the Pacific. Catherine lived in Peru, Nebraska, during her time Richard was serving in World War II. When Richard returned from the war, they moved to Black Forest, Colorado, and built a home. Their second child, Christine, was born in 1948. Their third child, Nancy, was born in 1951 when they were living in Fort Collins, Colorado, while Richard worked on his master's at Colorado State University. Catherine utilized her musical talent and accomplishments in many different ways. She directed the Christian church choir when the family lived in Winfield, Kansas, sang in the choir when they lived in McCook, Nebraska. The family lived in Salt Lake City, Utah, when Richard received a National Science Foundation grant to study at the University of Utah. And Catherine not only sang in the church choir, but also had the opportunity to sing with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. When the family moved to Casper, Wyoming in 1959, Catherine sang in the Christian church choir and gave private piano lessons and voice lessons. In addition, she sang in the Casper Chorale and was a member of the Wyoming Music Teachers Association. She directed church choirs in Bethel Baptist, First Christian, Winter Memorial, where she was known as producing extraordinary cantatas as well as providing inspirational spiritual music on a weekly basis. After her husband's passing in 1992, Catherine continued to live in her home on Chestnut, and eventually moved to Primrose Retirement Community, where she resided until her passing. Mrs. King Sauver is preceded in death by her mother and father, her husband Richard King Sauver, her sister Margaret, her brother Paul, and her sister Ellen, and her sister Alice. She is survived by her children, Stephen Grant King Sauver of Casper, Christine King Sauver Palmer, and her husband Alan Palmer of Colorado Springs, Colorado, Nancy King Sauver of Lakewood, Colorado, her granddaughters Samantha and Stephanie of Casper, stepchildren Angie Palmer of Superior, Colorado, and Andrew Palmer, his wife Wendy Palmer in Colorado Springs, and step-great-grandchildren Colin and Tyler in Superior, Colorado, and Ian Palmer in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
What a life. Now, please join me in singing one of her favorites, The Old Rugged Cross, number 548, the first and last stanzas, okay?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our mother had many passions in life. Her first passion was her family. Mother was so devoted to her family. She used to regale us stories of when she was growing up in India. And I remember she used to sing Jesus Loves Me in Indian when we were little kids. When she moved to Nebraska when she was 6 years old, she and her mother was the middle child. She and her siblings played sports. My brother-in-law asked her what she did when she was growing up, and she said, played baseball. Who would know? A lot of times I would call and speak to my mother and brother, and they didn't want to talk because they were watching golf. And she used to watch football with my brother-in-law. And I said to her, Mom, I didn't know you were such a football fan. And she said, well, I grew up in Nebraska. And then she married my father, and she had us three children. And family was everything to mother. And both my mother and father, all they ever wanted was all to be together. And they would look forward to us coming, and they were thrilled. And when my brother had children, mother was so delighted in those children, and she loves them so very much. And when Chris got married, she got two more grandchildren, and she loves them, and she has step-great-grandchildren now, and she loved them all. Growing up, we always think about what words of advice did our mother give us. Well, hers were, stand up straight, brush your hair. She always had a thing about brushing your hair. Wear your socks and take your vitamins. When I was away at college, everyone used to get gifts, you know, packages from their family. And I told Mom and Dad, you know, you never send me anything, so could you send me something? So a package arrived, and my roommates and I anticipated it. Well, I opened it up, and it was vitamins. You know, which, as my brother said now, those are worth a lot of money. But at the time, I was like, what happened to cookies? When we were growing up, we did a lot of hiking and camping. And mother really loved the outdoors. She loved to be with her family, camping and hiking. And my mother was a very stylish dresser, as we always know. And my mother always had to have her purse with her. My niece reminded me that one time they went camping with mother, and they were sitting around the campfire, and mother disappeared into the tent, and she came out with her purse. And mother used to come into the, when she came and said goodnight to my sister and I, she'd be in her fuzzy robe with her purse. And one more, when my niece Stephanie was born, she came very quickly. So mother didn't have time to eat breakfast, so she put her toast in her purse. A big part of my mother's life and our family's life was her faith, which she got from her father, who was a minister. Both of her parents are missionaries. And she instilled that faith in us from a very early age. Mother had such a strong faith, and I do not believe she's afraid of death because of her strong faith. She enjoyed her friends at First Christian and her Bible study, and the women I know enjoyed being with her. And when she was at Primrose, they kept in touch with her, and I know that meant a lot to her. Her second biggest passion was her music, and David spoke about her music, and that was so important in her life and our life. She instilled that sense of love of music of all kinds in our life, and we grew up with music around the house all the time. But mother's big passion was her baby grand piano, which she got, and she always cared for that piano, and she continued to play it. It's at my brother's house. She would go and play on the piano, probably in the month before her death. When she moved into Primrose, people would come to greet mother, but they wanted to look at the piano. The guy, hi, Catherine, can we see your piano? It's a big, important part. And of course, mother loved animals. She We had cats. We had one cat, I think, growing up. And then when my sister left for college, we got a cat. And my sister thinks that that was her replacement when she went away to college. At the time of her passing, she had her beloved Casey cat. And that cat is quite legendary at Primrose, actually. So most people were kind of afraid of that cat. But I know she did love that cat, and her cat loves her. As I said, she had many friends in the community, and we appreciate all the friendship. And she loved her friends at Primrose, as I said, and the staff that took care of her. And she was also cared for by a companion, Rose, who she loved very much. And when Rose didn't show up, you could tell she was pretty depressed about it. Mother also loved decorating. She had flowers and roses, and they lived out on the river, and she had a big garden, and she canned. And Mother, and it may be things that you did in her age, but she would go to open houses to get decorating ideas. We used to go to Ethan Allen a lot, so she could look at the furniture and get decorating ideas. You know, in the last 3 years, Mother had a lot of medical issues, but Mother never gave up. Mother had such a strong will to live, as did my father, and she just refused to give up, and she kept on going in spite of it. Mother's memory was, and her mind was still sharp for her age. My uncle one time said, her sister Alice's husband, that Mother reminded him of the Energizer Bunny. She just kept going and going and going. And I'm very grateful to my mother for bringing Steve and Chris and I up in such a strong Christian home. And she raised very independent, strong women. And for that, I will be eternally grateful.
I'm going to be reading from Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the sun. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to tear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace.
Our second scripture reading this morning is from the New Testament, from the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 7, 18 and 19. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you also will live.
Thanks to all the participants in the service this morning. Thank God for Katherine Thompson Kingsolver and the journey her life took. And what a journey it was. A very full and busy nearly 97 years. And God blessed indeed. And this morning we have gathered together here not only to mourn her loss, but even more to celebrate her life. This is a day when our hearts are in need of and open to a special ministry our Lord provides to and for us, the ministry of comfort. Comfort, a word that appears in the Bible more than 100 times. God is a God who provides comfort to us, especially in times such as this. But how does he do it? Your friends are so important. They can make a world of difference when they send a card with a note, or even just an email, or as my kids would say, a text, Dad. When we lose someone near and dear to us, we're left with a vacant spot in our hearts and a deep sense of loneliness. And more than ever, we need the prayers, the phone calls, the ministry of presence of our dear friends and family to remind us that despite our loss, we are not alone. For it is through friends and family that God speaks clearly to us and comforts us, as Nancy just did. Another way that God comforts us is through Christ's words in the scripture. Do you remember when Jesus told his disciples that he was going away for good and he would be laying down his life for them? Like a little child, Peter didn't like hearing what Jesus was saying at all, and almost threw a fit because he wanted to go with Jesus. But Jesus said, no, I am going alone. You can follow me later. And the other disciples weren't happy either, muttering to themselves about how unfair Jesus was being. And Jesus, like a gentle shepherd, quieted them down and said to them peacefully, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In other words, trust me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and when I go, I will be preparing a place for you. After that, I will return and will take you so that where I am, you also may be. But still, Thomas the doubter, like a little child in the dark, said, well, how will we know the way to get there? And Jesus once again in a calming manner said, Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. I will show you the way. No one comes to the Father God but by me. You see, the scriptures clearly say that we need to listen to the Christ and trust him and follow after him. In that way, we are led into the very presence of God. And thirdly, it is God himself who comforts us in our anxiety, our sadness, and our separation from those we love. Yes, this God who created the universe and all of its wonderful complexities, this God who envisioned and brought into being our world and our beautiful Wyoming, this God is a very personal God as well, who loves and cares for each and every one of us, as we do with him. Remember, it was Jesus himself who slipped off quietly into the Garden of Gethsemane before he was taken captive by the soldiers to be crucified. And it was in that garden that Jesus spent talking and praying with his Father God and actively listening as well. It was there that he came to a sense of peace with his Father and prepared himself to move forward to death. Our God of comfort also desires to bring a sense of peace to each of us today. We believe that Catherine has entered into the gates of heaven, and now God asks us also to trust him as we move forward confidently and faithfully into our futures, loving our families, being a good friend to others, and making a positive difference in the world, as did Catherine. May God be with us all. Amen.
Breeze, then sings my soul, my shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble.
Thank you, Michelle and Lonnie. Will you join me in our pastoral prayer? Most gracious God, you who are the giver of life itself, we thank you for the life of Catherine, and we are confident that she has now entered the gates of heaven and stands in your loving presence. We ask that you be especially close to our children, Steve, Chris, Nancy, and their entire families, during these days of her passing, and that you will surround them with your abundant love. And as this congregation gathers here in this sanctuary this morning, may we be reminded once again that you are a God of great mercy, love, comfort, and hope to all of your children. Let us now join together in praying the prayer our Lord taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Lead us not into our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to sing our final hymn, please note that Catherine's family will greet you in the back of the sanctuary following the casket's departure. You're welcome to join the family at the graveside following the hearse. It will be at Highland Cemetery immediately after the service. And now let us sing together our final hymn. Why don't we stand and sing this one? Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, on page 2. Again, as she requested, the first and last verses. Thank you. receive the benediction. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with each of you this day and always. Amen.
Amen.
Great things.